The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. They're not even fit to hold office.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and I'm going to do something that's going to shock and amaze a lot of people, I am sure. Steve Elkins emailed this over to me today, and he said, Alex Jones did a interview with a Russia Insider founder and editor, Charles Bossman. And I guess he was down in Austin here. It was a film crew from the main Russian TV channel. I think this is pronounced Ryusa 1. They were interviewing him for a documentary that they're making. And Jones asked him to come into his studio for an interview. Now, you all know how I feel about Alex Jones, but you also know how I feel about information. All right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, if you wanted to know anything Russian here, this is very fascinating because this man, his father, was the Associated Press guy in Russia. He was the guy. And Charles Bossman, even though he's American, he grew up as a child in Russia. And what the press is doing in this country, what the media is doing with this country concerning Russia. Now, there's obvious flaws because this is Alex Jones and the subject matter he wants to stay away from. But even that, the important thing is that you hear what Charles Bossman had to say about Russia. And folks, a lot of this is going to blow you away. So, without further ado here, and yes, you're going to hear Alex Jones's voice on this program, taped, of course, not live. But folks, we need to demonstrate that the information is what is important. The personages or the personality, I personally don't like Alex Jones because I know what the guy has done and specifically what he's done to me. But putting that aside, what are we here for? The greater glory of one? No, we're here to recapture and restore this republic. So with that explanation, here is the interview that Jones did with Russia Insider founder and editor Charles Bossman. This happened just a couple of days ago.
Charles Bossman is here with us in studio, Russia-Insider, and he was here with a national Russian film crew today. He wasn't even trying to get on air. I was familiar with his popular site and YouTube channels. He was very well-spoken, and I thought, hey, we never see you in front of the camera. You ought to come out here and explain how you're international business, and you've been all over Russia and all over Europe, and what you think of this whole situation with the attempts of the deep state to claim that Russia runs everything in America and that I'm run by Russia. I think it's probably been 9 years since I've had a Russian film crew here. Again, the media tries to act like if you talk to a Russian, you must be an evil person. How crazy is that? Hillary was selling the Russians uranium and things, but he has been on RT and also U.S. channels. But it just shows how they try to paralyze everybody. You know, when I got a Russian visa about a year and a half ago and was thinking about going to Russia, I tweeted it out. The media went, oh, my gosh. And it was national news. They go, he is a Russian agent. Alex Jones has a Russian visa. And they actually had major talk shows go, oh, it's a special one. You know, I filed for a business one because I was going to go there for covering the news and making a documentary, and we didn't know when. So, yeah, that's how they work. If it's tourism, you get it for the time you're going. If it's, they go, oh, no one gets these. Of course, that isn't true. Millions of people get them. But again, this shows how they try to do all this when they're the globalist trying to get rid of the existence of America. No borders, no wall, no USA at all. The very same globalists are trying to take down Russia. And so, you know, I don't have any alliance with Russia. I'm not in bed with Russia. But I recognize Russia has the same globalist enemies, and Russia is standing up to radical Islam more than anybody else is, and they're becoming Christian. And I know folks that work over in Russia, and they recognize they're going back to their roots. And that just enrages Hollywood, the Trotskyites, and the neocons, and the leftists. So Charles is here with us, Russia-Insider, Russian-Faith.com. And so it's good to have you here, Charles.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, just you've got the floor because you're a well-spoken guy, but you're a soft-spoken guy. Describe, like, when we were having lunch today, you and I, both Americans, but with the three Russians in there, the host and the other camera people, the sound guy and the camera guy.
Yeah.
Why you came on the scene, because you become very prolific and have reached hundreds of millions of people conservatively, and your sites just keep growing. Why you did this and what triggered you? Because I'm always fascinated what makes people decide to change course in life, successful businessmen, and to throw themselves at something and then are successful.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was I lived and worked in Russia for 20 years. And in 2014, I was basically your average conservative Republican businessman, minding his own business, but sort of interested in politics. And that's when this Ukraine civil war broke out, and what actually then turned out to be a coup. It was obvious to me that, you know, I speak fluent Russian. I was watching the Russian media, reading the Russian media, and it was literally diametrically opposed. I mean, it was 180 degrees different from what the Western media was saying.
But what's interesting, give us some of your background. I mean, your mom was German, so she grew up part in Europe. I mean, describe why you have such a background, why you were in Russia.
Okay. I lived in Russia as a child. My dad was a journalist there. He was the bureau chief for the Associated Press. That's the world's largest news agency.
It's all really interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and
so it's funny, you were a business guy, successful, went back to your dad's roots.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I had the journalism bug in me somehow. So I got to see Russia in the deep communist days.
Now, your dad
Brezhnev era.
Wasn't working for the CIA or anything? Because, you know, back then, if somebody was the head of the AP in Russia, they probably were.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know. I never thought of him as that kind of a person, but I guess nothing's out of the question.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting. It's just fascinating. So start over.
So we lived in Russia as a family, and I got to see, I remember as a child, the Brezhnev era. That was the deep sort of, you know, Soviet times in the 70s. And I was there when Nixon, for example, flew to Russia famously to talk to Brezhnev for the first time. Well, anyway, so I was living and working in Russia, and the lying was just off the charts in terms of what the Western media was saying, and it was obvious. You know, it's not that hard to figure it out when you sort of compare people saying opposite things, and then you sort of look into it and you say, well, what's really going on here? And this was clear to me and also a number of my expat friends in Moscow. And we said, look, we got to do something. We got to speak out. We're Americans here. After all, we have a moral responsibility. We were actually thinking that a land war could break out in Europe. I mean, it was really a scary time. I don't know how well you guys remember that.
I remember 888 before that, when They attacked the UN base and slaughtered everybody and then tried to get Russia to get into a war. And then I actually in covered Georgia, what really happened. And the media said I was a Russian agent. When I was going off, it was even in the European news, what the Pentagon even said. But CNN was saying Russia attacked Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just like,
total,
what
complete
the hell?
Lie. It was a total, complete lie. And the media, you know, just reported it and parroted
but
it.
But that big one didn't wake you up.
No. I was still asleep in 2008. So we put up the site. We felt it was our responsibility as Americans to speak out and say something and talk to our countrymen. And the thing just went ballistic. I don't know, you know, it was the weirdest thing. We had no experience in news or websites or anything like that. And we had, within 3 months, we had 15 million views on our articles. And we must have just, like, been there at the right time and struck a chord. And we're saying things people wanted to hear.
Well, let's be clear. I mean, I don't just lap up whatever comes out of Russia. And it's just like the U.S. There's a lot of different voices, huge leftist menace there, a lot of, you know, brainwashing, all the same garbage. But I turn on the CFR, I turn on C-SPAN, or I would read a State Department report. They'd like, yeah, we got $5 billion. We overthrew Ukraine. We're going to take the Russian pipelines to, you know, cut them off so they can't sell gas to Europe. And I'm like, hey, if we're going to outsell Russia on gas to Europe, that's great. Let's do that. America's now the biggest exporter of stuff, but let's not steal their pipelines and then say they started this war when Soros is going on CNN to Fareed Zakaria, which is more of a wonk-type show, and going, yeah, we staged it all. We're taking over. So they'd even be on the news admitting they were doing it out of one mouth, but in the big pop coverage saying the Russians have attacked. I mean, it's just insulting to someone's intelligence when they're even admitting in policy reports what they're doing, and even some on national TV, but then saying a totally different thing to the general public.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And anyway, so this thing got so big so quickly that I realized that, you know, I could reach more and more people, and we kept putting more money into it and building it out and hiring people. And the more stuff we put out, the bigger the traffic went. And it ended up being, you know, really a big, substantial site that made a big difference at the time. I mean, we were kind of like the first people really, like, aggressively calling out the liars, naming names. We just kicked the stuffing out of the regular New York Times, Washington Post, Reuters, all these guys who are just filing lies, honestly, from the ground. We identified military intelligence, like, you know, stuffing, putting information into reports that never happened. I can't tell you how many times Reuters reported that Russian tanks crossed the border into Ukraine. That never happened. You know, every time they would do that, all the Western media would start.
Remember, they said they shot down that Malaysian airliner.
Yeah, that's another thing that is obviously done by the West. The Russians have no interest in doing that, and they didn't have the capability, and the rebels in Ukraine didn't have the capability. The only person who stood to benefit from that plane going down was the United States and Europe and the Western Ukraine.
But I want to be clear. I don't blame the Russians for the Soviets and the communists, because I know the history books, and that's PhD level, but it's a fact that the British Empire and the leftists in the U.S. Funded 100,000 Russian immigrants, people that had come from Russia, to reinvade Russia and overthrow it at a weak point at the end of World War One. And so when you talk about America doing all this, again, it truly is this international criminal cabal that's doing it. And I'm not trying to let America out of some of the bad things it's done in the recent decade to Russia. I'm just simply stating we have to point out that this is literally the same cancer.
Exactly. And we've published a huge amount of this history of the revolution on the site. And it's absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, when you think what the Russian people have gone through at the hands of these globalists, I mean, you know, the Jacob Schiff was the George Soros of his day. And it's no understatement to say that the Russian people and the Russian nation were literally crucified. I mean, they went through the most incredible agony because of these people. And they understand it very well. And part of their spiritual rebirth in our day is because they suffered so horribly for so long.
And let's be clear, millions of Christians tortured to death and killed, worked to death, families broken up, children taken and brainwashed. Everything the left wants to do if they get full control of the U.S. Folks, you think we've got it bad now. If they get control, they are going to literally take their time on you and your family. And so everybody needs to understand that. And it's I'm not trying to scare people, but you've seen what's happening. They're coming for your children. It's a satanic force. That's the very same crew that launched the French Revolution. And the globalists admit that. Even the Washington Post 2 months ago had a headline saying the same system that launched the French Revolution, the left-hand path, Satanist. French Revolution was satanic, folks. And the Bolshevik Revolution came out of Satanism. So you have to understand, this is not atheistic. They just say they're atheistic because they said, oh, we're Satanist. Christians would rally worldwide against them. But they're deceivers. They say, we don't believe in God. But the truth is Lenin and all these people were devil worshipers on record.
Yeah, and Alex, I want to also say something about your interpretation of it. So in 2015, that's the first time you came across my radar because we were very interested in Western media, which were also getting it right about Russia, and very, very few people were. You know, many more people are getting it right today. For example, I could mention Tucker Carlson, I think, basically gets the Russia story right these days, right? So that's a big... that's a big
because it's the truth.
So we've managed to wake people up, and there are people in the mainstream now who are starting to get it. But at the time,
well, it really helped when the Democrats got on a show and said, "You're a Russian agent working for Putin." I mean, he knew that wasn't true. His dad ran Voice of America.
Yeah,
you know, like your dad ran AP. Yeah. I mean, it's just like it's not true.
Yeah. And so anyway, so it was very interesting to us that you were getting the story absolutely right about Russia, and you had it right in a very fundamental way. You weren't just dealing with the facts. You understood the history and the background and the attack on decency, on nationhood, on Christianity, on the truth. And so it was, you were doing fantastic work at that time. And I think America was extremely lucky to have quite a large voice and a large platform that you had at the time telling people what was really going on. I think it made a really big difference. So you did a fantastic job. You were getting it right when most people were getting it wrong.
But just about survival and truth. They were arrogant, the globalist Hollywood, the media back. They thought it was all a joke. Okay, billions of views, so what? No one's listening to that. Now they're not delusional. Now they're really cracking down on speech everywhere. And admitting, the Washington Post today said it's just time to arrest people for their speech. Big national studies out, 60% of millennials arrest people for political incorrectness, and they want the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL to be the new gods that decide who's arrested. We're right back to the Commissars. We're right back to the NKVD.
Yeah, it's very similar. It's very similar. And by the way, I want to say that the SPLC did write an article about me and have listed us as terrible people. And you know that Veritas thing that came out about the whistleblower at Google?
Yes.
There were a list of banned sites that aren't allowed through search. Russia Insider was on the list. So, you know, they're trying to shut down the truth. That's what they do. And that's what they did in the Soviet Union. And it's just it's a repeat of the same ugly movie.
And folks, the Satanists that run communism, they just want to hurt people. They want power to rule. Okay, they want to be able to torture and kill and murder. And if you want to be like the Chinese or the Russians and have tens of millions die, then think this is a joke. It's not. And the satanic forces are making their move. And I mean, just look at men in clown outfits trying to get into schools at kids, and the school's not telling parents they're there, and kids are sitting on their laps, and the men are spreading their legs at little girls. If they did that in a park, they'd get beaten to death. But they do it out in the open, and it's like too big to fail. It's like just an open Satanism.
Yeah. And listen, Alex, I don't want to sit here and shower you with compliments, but another reason why your analysis of what's going on with Russia is so much better is because you bring in the spiritual element. And it's really important for people to understand this is not just some bad people out there or a difference between conservatives and liberals and so on and so forth. There is like pure evil going on in this attack against Russia and this anger against Russia. And it's important for people to understand that. So bringing in the spiritual side, the battle between Christianity and people who hate
Christianity. And there's propaganda that, oh, Russia was never Christian. It's not true. No, I run into Russians and they are totally get it. It's a spiritual battle. And I guess from the suppression of Christianity that was all secretly still going on, it's stronger than ever. And that spirit, the globalists are afraid it could come back here. It enrages them.
Yeah. Did you know that in the last 15 years, they have built 30,000 churches in Russia? There is no example of this in the history of Christianity, of that many churches being built in that short amount of time. or the number of people who've been baptized and brought into Christianity. It's in the many tens of millions. I mean, 50, 60 million people.
How did that work during the Soviet Union after the first big purges, then Lenin died and the rest of it? Because, you know, it's come out that even Putin's family was secretly Christian and was practicing it.
Right. Well, I think most people really did avoid churches and stayed away from it. There were some people who had a very, you know, very strong desire.
Well, you get disappeared if you did.
Well, no, you wouldn't get disappeared.
Well, early on during the Lenin thing.
During Lenin's time, they offered the priest, they said, look, either you sign a piece of paper that you renounce your faith or we'll shoot you.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting about that is 300,000 priests were shot. So that means that 300,000 priests, when offered that choice, said, you know what, shoot me. Now, think about that for a second.
How many people were strong back then?
Well, it does also demonstrate that they really felt that what they believed was extremely important and worth dying for. So, you know, that's an amazing story in itself. But a lot of priests also agreed. They signed the papers and just went away. And they worked in factories and were just regular citizens. And then later in the Soviet Union, the only thing going to church would do, it would prevent you from being in the party. You'd get kicked out of the party and your career would be hurt. But if you didn't care about that, if you were a street sweeper and a humble person, you could go to church. But in fact, very few people did because there were very few churches. They shut most of them down.
They are just assaulting Christianity everywhere. It's just a nightmare situation. I've been asking a lot of the questions. What else do you want to get into here just about the state of the world and just where everything's going? Because such pure evil is now just out in the open.
Yeah, you know, it's... What's happened in the Middle East has been really interesting, and how successful Russia has been in projecting its power and changing the whole balance of power in the world, really, because nobody expected Russia to do this, you know, and they watched Iraq fold and they watched Libya fold and they were fuming. And in fact, even before that, Yugoslavia, and they didn't have the military strength to push back, but all the while they were working, you know, the Russian elves were working in their factories, getting their military refitted. And then when nobody expected it, they sent planes into Syria and destroyed ISIS. And one of the funniest things, you know, is I'm a big Trump supporter. I like Trump. But he keeps saying, you know, we did our job. We destroyed ISIS, and that's why we're coming home. And the funny thing is the United States did not destroy ISIS. The U.S. created ISIS and used it to try and destroy Syria, and it's the Russians and the Syrians and the Iranians who destroyed ISIS.
Sure, but Trump needs to sell the public on getting our troops out of there. And, you know, it's true that once Trump got in, he worked with the Russians to clear it out when Obama helped create it and send it in.
Yes, yes. At least he did.
But it's true. Our media won't let Trump give any credit because, oh, he's a Russian agent.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's more insanity. I mean, that is just, you know, that from the day that came out, we were yelling at the top of our lungs saying that's an obvious lie because it looked like the same kind of baloney that they've been, you know, pumping out in the years before that with the Ukraine war and everything else and all the things about Putin, about how corrupt he is, about how evil he is, what a bad person he is. That guy is so popular in Russia, and he comes across as such a straight arrow and a decent person, and not at all the way he does in the West. It's like black and white. It's completely different from what it really is. So the Western public is being hoodwinked by a media that's lying through their teeth.
What did you do in Russia before you got into journalism and what you're doing 5 years ago?
I worked in business and private equity. And in the last 6 years, I worked in large agribusiness investments in Russia. And so I traveled extensively to all kinds of remote places that, you know, foreigners have never been. I can't tell you how many Russians have told me, you're the first American I've ever seen.
How many times bigger is Russia than the U.S.?
Geographically, it's about twice the size.
It's even bigger than that. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're from Russia, and more partly, so you know more than I do. But
yeah.
I just know that, I mean, like, supposedly there's whole areas of the East you might fly in a plane for an hour and see nothing. I mean,
yeah. But that's a little bit misleading because, you know, a lot of Russia is the equivalent of what Canada is. So,
frozen.
Sort of that, yeah, that top half of it is almost uninhabitable. So the population goes along the bottom crescent. But it's still a massive, and it's such a beautiful country. And, you know, the people are so basically decent. They're honest. They're humble. They're patient. They'll put up with a lot. And they're very, very generous. And they're very spiritual. They have a real pull and a talent for spiritual life, for Christianity. And that's part of the reason why this Christian thing is coming on so strong now.
Well, it definitely scares the hell out of the globalists.
Oh, it's like showing them across. They start shrieking, you know. They're like...
I think the seeds are there for this to happen in America again. And I think the folks that want everybody just to roll over and go along with this, they know that things are not going well for them.
Yeah, they have difficulty functioning when people have access to free information, which is why they're trying to shut everything down.
I just wonder why the globalists go so out of their way to try to hurt society and dumb everybody down. I mean, they put fluoride in our water to make us stupid, and it's working. I mean, that's in their own documents. It's so cold-blooded that imagine how satanic that is.
Yeah, the whole ecological story of the poisons everywhere. And, I see so many men who seem feminine, more feminine here than in Russia. Actually, a big difference you see between the West and Russia. And
that didn't used to be that way.
And yeah, and I think that has to have something to do with the chemicals in the food and the water in the West.
They all talked about how they're doing it.
To that degree in Russia, because it's a more simple economy and sort of cleaner food. By the way, Russia is completely GMO. They don't allow any genetically modified...
Non-GMO.
Yeah, I mean, non-GMO, yeah.
And let me speak to that. How many years ago was it? Because you're in that business. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You're, an expert. Putin said national move. We want to be the number one producer of organic food in the world. Tell us about that plan. That's fascinating. I wish we were doing that here.
Yeah.
So folks that know, that cuts out big, giant agribusiness to a greater area and creates a really diverse a local economy that can then be a commune, but not communist, actually free market.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Putin has a strong personal interest in agriculture, and I think this comes partly because, agriculture is a serious national security issue. You have to be able to feed your people, and if you get into a military conflict, you can't be importing food because your people could starve.
And Thomas Jefferson pointed out it makes people more street smart, more close to the ground, just more grounded. You'd think of farmers as more like wimpy, but actually even more like military in waiting when people are actually on the ground. Humans are more dialed in when they're actually self-sufficient. We're designed to do that.
Yeah. So about 12 years ago, Russia was importing a huge amount of food. They were net importers, I think 50% of their food supply, right across everything from grains up to meat and dairy and cheese and all kinds of stuff they're bringing in from Europe. And they went on this massive program to turn that around, and now they're net exporters of everything, and they're the biggest grain exporter in the world and grain producer in the world, wheat mostly. And it's just extraordinary what they've achieved. And Putin is constantly on TV visiting farms, talking to farmers, meeting with ministers saying, give them more money. They've put billions and billions of dollars into the industry. It's been a massive turnaround, and they've subsidized small farmers, which is very interesting.
And he's been basically glorifying farmers and families and men and women in their traditional roles, which again is like a holy water and a cross to these leftists.
Yeah, and he hasn't allowed Monsanto in, and they talk a lot about how evil that is and how wrong it is, and how Russia has to be independent of this sort of global network of control of agriculture. It's absolutely amazing. It's one of their biggest successes, and it shows what they're capable of doing as a nation. They're extremely unified. That's what's interesting about Russia. Like, you look at America and everybody's yelling and screaming and fighting with each other. There, everybody's like with the program by and large. There's a liberal opposition, but it literally represents 10-15% of the population.
I think we're starting to get that way here, because you go see the rabble the left has following, and they've got to get elected by election fraud in the blue cities they control. But almost everybody knows mainstream media is just completely full of crap. And I know they ran a lot of propaganda on the Russians as well, but there's just a certain point where it stops working.
Yeah, you know what else is also interesting? They're really supporting childbearing, and they're encouraging young couples to have children, and there's a baby boom going on now in Russia.
And that's good because the Russian population had been plummeting.
It had been before that. Now it's on the rise, and it's the best in Europe, and it's an amazing turnaround again. And you know, they're giving substantial cash benefits. I think for a second child.
And now what? Some of the other Eastern European countries are copying the model.
Absolutely. Hungary is a good example. Hungary is doing a fantastic job. But I can tell you about the Hungary thing. But anyway, so for the second child, a Russian parents get $8,000 in cash. And that's the equivalent of maybe getting, you know, $30,000 in America. I mean, can you imagine what would happen in America if...
Also, you don't have a problem.
Families were offered $30,000.
You don't have a problem with pedophile child. Priests there because the left hasn't been able to take over your church.
Exactly. Yeah. The Russian Orthodox Church is extremely vibrant and sort of pure and clean because it's sort of come, you know, just rushing back with great enthusiasm, and a lot of people have joined the ministry and they filled up the monasteries. Interesting fact. I mentioned the 30,000 churches. When the revolution happened, there were 800 monasteries in Russia, you know, and each one had, you know, hundreds of monks, and they were all in these remote places and very extreme. They all got shut down. They're all back working now. They've brought back 800 monasteries, and when you go to these places, it's like they're living the way they were in the Middle Ages. It's the most extraordinary thing.
And we see a lot of Europeans where they're literally trying to make families chop their sons' testicles off at age 8. They're trying to make families take Islamists into their homes. They're making in Germany and Sweden 25-year-old men. The schools are saying, here's your 14-year-old girl. It's on after-school shows for little girls. Get your Muslim husband now. I mean, it is the most cucked stuff you could imagine. And it's everywhere. And so all these German and Swedish families and others are fleeing cultural persecution as cultural and religious refugees from Europe. I mean, this is big.
Yeah. Social conservatives are coming to Russia, showing up in Russia and asking for asylum, saying they're being persecuted in the West.
How's the government responding to that?
Very well. They're taking in Boers from South Africa. They're taking in Germans. It's interesting. There are articles in the news about this almost every week about, you know,
and that's because the new government and the vice president and when you play the clip says we're going to kill all the white people, and they are. And then our media said, don't let them leave. Putin's racist. Kill the whites. I mean, literally, whites are inherently bad. How dare Russia take whites?
Yeah. So there's a lot of fantastic stuff. Lost my train of thought there.
Well, I mean, there's just so much insanity. I mean, it's really crazy. And then people have this view of Russia as one way, and then it's really another. And I just think every country is you know, different than what people have never. And I love America. And, you know, when the Russian crew was here today, the guy in Broken Russian's like, you know, we talk to Americans. They can't find Ukraine on map with name on it, but they want war. And, you know, either Americans are really informed or they're really dumb. But you were pointing out, the U.S. per capita has more entertainment than anywhere in the world. People are drowning in disinfo, drowning in entertainment, drowning in diversion. They're in a trance.
Yeah.
And America is under a sleeping spell, and they've got studies showing most people never really get in a fully awake stage. They're kind of in a dreamy state, a daydreaming state, and we need the sleeper to awaken and come out of it and understand what's going on. I think that's really the key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Russia is really waking the rest of the world up. They're a great example. They're showing a lot of leadership on important things. They're showing leadership on protecting Christians around the world and standing up to this, you know, crazy globalist onslaught that just keeps coming and coming. It's amazing. Oh, I remembered. I just wanted to tell you also about those Hungarian things for families, because it really is amazing. So in Hungary, the salient fact that I remember is that if you have 4 children, you never pay taxes again. Your family is tax-free for life.
Well, I'm paying no taxes. I already got 4.
There you go.
You got 4 too, right?
I do, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Keep going. We're going to finish up, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
We need that here.
Yeah, we do. And I tell you, I think, you know, what did Viktor Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, said the other day, that he is the only free prime minister in Europe, in the EU. He's the only guy who's not on the hook to the globalists and the people who control things. And so there is this pushback, and it's very strong in Russia, it's very strong in Poland, it's very strong in Hungary, in Serbia. So there's
well, I got to say, the globalists have really
getting better.
The globalists have really miscalculated with trying to flood Europe with all the Islamicists and North Africans, and destroying the tourism, destroying the culture, okay. And then running around seeing how evil it is if you don't want to pay for it. I mean, it's really woken people up. Why do you think Soros, who admittedly funds a lot of this, played his hands so overplayed the hand?
I think they didn't anticipate this freedom of the effect that freedom of information would have. And when people could literally go online and find out anything they wanted and get to the truth.
Well, that was my thing. They were arrogant, you know, and thought we weren't having an effect. Now they're trying to shut us down, but it's too late.
It's too late. I don't think it's going to work. There are too many ways for people to get information. And the more now that they've tasted it, even if you make it more difficult for them to get it, they're going to go to the extra effort to find it. They're not going to, you know, let it go this way. So I'm very optimistic about this. And I see a lot more sites and operations like yours popping up in the future, for sure.
Well, it's fascinating. I got a visa to go in there for journalism like a year and a half ago now, and it's up in a few, 6 months or something. I need to get over to Russia.
Well, you got to come. It'll blow your mind.
Well, I'm always told I work for the Russians, and I've never been to Russia. I'm told I work for Israel, never been to Israel, so I want to go there too and see who my bosses are. And I've also been told I work for the Vatican. I have been there. I don't work for the Vatican, folks. I really just try to have everybody on and, you know, have an open discussion here. But Charles, thank you so much for coming on with us. Russia-Insider, Russian-Faith. .com, and of course you got your YouTube channels, and I've seen a lot of the videos and things you post, so thanks for coming in with us.
Great, thanks for having me.
All right, I know that probably people tuning in, finishing dinner, coming in from the farm, and they're turning on the program and going, will you get the show? No, that is the show. Now, I had to do that for the simple fact that this guy brings an entire different, as he said, 180 degrees of what the media is carrying on about Russia. And it's fascinating to me, and I'm sorry, Alex, I cannot let you off the hook. This thing about Satanism, Satanism created communism. No, it didn't. It was the Jews. God almighty. I'm sorry, you don't have to go to Israel to talk to your bosses. If you go to Russia-Insider.com, you will find topics such as the Jewish question, World War II revisionism, revisionist history, family values, the Christian Zionist message, Western collapse, Armenian genocide, EU conservative uprising, Russia hoax. Churchill was evil. I mean, you can go to this site, and they're not afraid to put out the information. And by the way, Jones screwed that up. It was actually the people in Russia that had left Russia that wanted the Germans to go in and destroy communism. That's a little known fact. But, you know, folks, I had to do it. Now, I'm going to try to get this guy on the air because I have my own style, obviously, of interviewing, and I don't interrupt. I'm going to try to get Charles Bossman on. I mean, they've got an article posted. I'm looking at their site right now. Wars for Israel, mass immigration, sodomy, the Republican boy wonder Charlie Kirk gives the people what they want. Charlie Kirk, not a good guy. He thinks transvestites and all this stuff and them going to schools, it's all cool. It's all good. Fake conservative, Republican in name only. Folks, we're up to the rafters in ne'er-do-wells in both parties in this country. But I find it rather fascinating that the people that want us shut down, the ones that are actually in there with their sleeves rolled up to destroy this country, that control the media in this country, that control our politicians in Washington, D.C. There was a story up on Russia Insider about the senators, 25 of them that got together, and how do we stop this anti-Semitism? Well, Charles the Possum Schumer was the guy that headed this up. And it's just absolutely sick. It is absolutely sick of the people that are selling this country out. And again, let me revert back to the statement I made when I had Tom DeWeese on last hour. Comey, he was a communist. Brennan, a communist. Self-admitted communist in the 70s. Voting for Gus Hall, voting communist ticket. How did these people get to be the heads of the CIA and the FBI? This is how corrupt this country has become. This is how bad that it really is. So I'm going to attempt to get this guy on the program because there's a lot of questions that weren't asked. And I don't like the revisionist history stuff either. Do I, Alex? I have a caller here. How long has Fred been holding on? 10 minutes. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay. You know where in the hell I'm coming from, John, and I haven't changed in 4.5 years. I won't go into that right now. I am very familiar with Russia because I travel all over with my mouse. I can even draw a map and the rivers in it because it really interests me. I have the desire to build my own sailboat, and I like to come in through the Bering Sea and up the river. But anyhow, all that being said, I'm very familiar with Russians, the old believers. And this little town where I reside, I have many Ukrainian friends. Now, I can't speak Russian, and I'm too old to learn. Spanish, maybe. Okay. Now, I, instead of being Fred in Iowa, I was thinking about calling myself Fred, the Watchman on the Wall. And John, you know where I'm coming from on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be so quick about the Jews. Political Israel is evil, bad. Spiritual Israel is something that few people know about. Okay? It took a lot of courage to have Jones on there, and I admire you for it. You're learning just like everybody else. And talk about the audience, well, you can stand the truth. I'm not worried about people out here and callers and all that about facing or learning the truth. What I am concerned with is hosts, can they learn and face the truth? Now, as you know, I help out when I can, and I am a supporter of RBN. But by golly, we all have to learn and have the guts and the courage to face reality. And if we are wrong, we are wrong. We can admit it and try to make amends and keep an open mind, not like a sieve, but not normalcy bias and other biases that I won't go into right now. Anyhow, one hell of a great show, and I hope you get this guy on that you want to interview. That's it for me.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Right. I appreciate it. And I'll tell you what, if you want to know the real history of World War II, go up to Russia-Insider and click on Revisionist History. It's amazing. I'm just absolutely just blown away. And this has got the Russian Insider, a lot of people, and myself included, got these two organizations screwed up, RT and Russia Insider. I thought they were synonymous. I thought they were part and parcel of the same. No, they are not. RT has English-speaking programming on it. Yeah, that's true. But this guy started this back in 2008, and it's far exceeded anything that anybody's done in this country. Just a guy. He got tired of it. He was a conservative. He knew the truth, and he had to speak out, and I'm glad he did. The website he's put together is just an absolute kick-butt website. I mean, it's even got articles up here how the alternative media can defeat the mainstream media, and here's the game plan. I'm going to get this guy on. I will get him on. That's for darn sure. Who do I got? Ken in New York. Go ahead, Ken.
I've been reading Russian Insider for over a year now, and they don't pull any punches. Even if you didn't use the three-letter word, there shouldn't have been any problem using Zionist, but I don't think Alex even wants that used on his show.
No, he doesn't, and I'm sure that this guy got instruction because he very carefully walked around it, and the closest that Jones got to it, you know, Lenin and all these guys, yeah. They were all Satanist, and...
they're all leftists.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, invite him on. I mean, he doesn't have to pull any punches here.
No, he does not. And I will not ask him to.
And I think it would be a very good exposure for RBN.
I think it would be as well. I'd like to get to know this guy a little bit better. I really would. You know, I mean, if you remember me a long time ago, Ken, when the 2016 elections were coming up and Donald Trump threw his hat in the ring. And, you know, I knew about Vladimir Putin. I knew what he was doing in that country. He had literally turned that country around. And that should serve as a fine example, as long as you don't get the resistance from behind, how fast a country can turn its fortunes around, just as Russia has. And wouldn't it be great, Ken, if Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump became fast friends and we helped Russia and Russia helped us?
I think they are. They just have to come out of a closet.
Yep.
Well, especially not Vladimir, not Putin, but
well, but you understand what Trump is up against. This isn't the old Soviet Union. You know, we're going through the active plan right now of the destruction of this country and who is behind it. They've already gone through it. They're rebuilding.
I mean, I read a story on there about how the Tsar and his family was murdered, and exactly I never heard such detail on the subject before.
By what? Oh, that's right. English spies.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Russians.
The British again. It's always the British.
Isn't that amazing? The City of London.
Within the City of London.
Yes.
Good night, John.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate your call. I mean, they actually put up stories. Nazi Germany had unequaled quality of life. U.S. and British soldiers looted it out of existence. And that's exactly true. And you know, how many times, ladies and gentlemen, have you heard, oh, the book burning, you know, the Nazis in the book burning? Well, guess what? Adolf Hitler burned what the communists were bringing in. He went after their drug dealing. He went after their houses of ill repute. He went after the literature that they were circulating. Just as they have done in this country, only it's the 21st century version. And this is how well people have been propagandized in this country. You say a word, immediate, oh, they have a reaction by the crap that has been ingrained in their lives for their entire lives. You know, and I take a look at people around and what they're doing. I'll give you an example. Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has come out and, oh, Charlie Kirk is a great guy. In a piece titled Turning Point USA Blasts White Nationalist Homophobic Trolls Who Sabotaged Event Q&A. Well, Benny Johnson, the organizer's chief creative officer, tweeted there were a number of trolls who sabotaged the Q&A portion of tonight's TPUSA event. Many of the questions were aberrant and were not asked in good faith. White nationalism and anti-gay hatred have no place in our movement. That is what the left wants. It's time to wake up. Really? Smith, who, according to his Twitter bio, is proudly despised by the leftist and the alt-right, helped Kirk derail several pointed questions directed toward the conservative leaders, or the supposed conservative leaders. This guy, he is not a good man. But again, wolf in sheep's clothing. Just seems to be happening more and more and more, but there are those that can smell this out and are trying to keep things on track. Well, folks, thank you for putting up for today's program. It was a little different for you, wasn't it? Well, it was different for me as well.
It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
I forgot about the last segment. It threw the timing off because I'm used to breaks. I can, my head tells me when the break is coming up. I don't have to look at the clock. But I forgot I had the last segment here to do. At any rate, folks, if you want to really find out about these people that were killed in northern Mexico, go up to our website, read the story. It's entitled Mexico Mormon Attack. A suspect has been arrested in the massacre of the family. You need to read the article, please. This is what the media is not telling you. And by the way, how much time do I have here? 1 minute? 4 minutes. There's going to be a civil war, and I don't know who these people were. It doesn't identify who they are, but they went and talked to some country folks. Listen what they had to say.
Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives believe they have enough votes to push ahead with impeaching President Donald Trump. That's before a proper impeachment inquiry has been concluded. And even though it's unlikely the Republican-controlled Senate will vote to impeach the president, it's extraordinary how quickly the Democrats are moving, given how long many of them previously resisted calls for impeachment. To get a sense, though, of what the president's staunchest supporters think of the developments, our U.S. correspondent Rebecca Wright travelled to Trump country in northern Arizona, where they're threatening to march on Washington.
It's Saturday morning in Sedona, northern Arizona. As the sun rises over its fiery rock formations, we're on the road, asking the president's supporters what they think of the political fire that's been burning in the 12 days since Democrats launched an impeachment inquiry.
He's not perfect. He's rude, obnoxious. But we didn't elect him to be perfect or the great guy. We elected him to get things done.
What about the Democrats? What do you think about them in pursuing impeachment of this president?
As far as I'm concerned, they need to just back off, let the president do his job.
I don't think that's fair. That's not what America is about.
What is America about to you?
Common freedom. They're pulling our choice of freedom away from us.
And so what do you think about the impeachment inquiry?
Well, it's fair farce. But if this don't work out, they'll come up with something else.
In one of America's most picturesque landscapes, they're angry the specter of impeachment now hangs over the president.
In one of these days, people are going to lose confidence in this government, and you're going to see it fall apart. So it'll happen in our lifetime.
Oh, it feels like it's falling apart a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm. You'll probably see a turn probably in January, because this will get really bad, and this impeachment will just separate this party and separate the whole country.
And they're openly talking here about any attempt to impeach Donald Trump, triggering an uprising.
Yes, and it's not going to get, there's going to be a civil war, it's going to be bad, it's not going to get any better until there's some serious things happen.
Down in Cottonwood, we find the idea also being freely discussed among Trump supporters.
What do you think will happen if the Democrats impeach?
I think they're going to have people in the streets, I don't think it's going to go sweet. I think they're going to have, people coming out.
These are old people here talking, folks.
Our side protesting. We never do. And it's like, come on, people, get in the fight.
It doesn't feel as though America is really on the brink of a civil war, but the idea has become a right-wing talking point, amplified by presidential tweet, and it is ricocheting around his support base.
Hi, sir.
How are you guys doing?
We're pretty good. We're in town talking to people about impeachment.
It needs to stop. It needs to stop now. And if it does not stop, they will force millions of Americans to go to Washington, D.C., fill the buildings, and clean the place out. That's what needs to be done. We need to walk in with nary a weapon by the millions, fill the buildings behind these people in Congress, and run them out the door.
It's perhaps meant more as a warning to incite fear among the left about pressing ahead with indicting Donald Trump.
I mean, he's standing up for we the people, and they're not hurting him, they're hurting us. They're hurting all the people of the United States that voted for Trump.
Because this isn't just political, it's personal for people like Lucy and the Trump supporters we meet in the southern city of Tucson at a classic car show.
I am a voting far right-wing Christian Republican.
We'll have to leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. Thank you very much. Please support Republic Broadcasting Network. More important now than ever. Let's get busy. Let's start hurting these characters. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.